नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 6 8 एक्सक्यूज मी प्रेयर्स बाय क्वीन कुंती टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति विदांता स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद Lord Sri Krishna caused three well-performed Ashwamedha yagyas, or sacrifices, to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhisthira, and thus caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions, like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. Yanatimirandasya janaganas lakayam chakshusmiridam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam shapitam jena bhutale swayam upakaramaya dadatvi saparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is an important principle that although God is equal to everyone, still He's inclined to His devotees. This is mentioned also in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We have a Gita? Wherein Krishna makes the same point to Arjuna. He says at 9:29, Samoham Sarvabhutesu, Bhutesu means all the living entities, Sarvabhutesu, Nami Dvesto Stinapriyaha, Yevajanti tu mam bhaktya, Maitesu te chapyaham. Krishna speaking, he says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to everyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So this is reasonable. God is equal to everyone. He's in everyone's heart. He has no special favorite. But still, if somebody approaches him with love and devotes themselves to him, then naturally he'll have to give them more reciprocation. In other words, this is also another principle. Ye yatama apapadyante, tamsatami vajamiyam. As they surrender unto me, I reciprocate according. So that's also being equal, because if someone gives more to him, then naturally he gives more back. He has to give more back because they're giving more to him. So he's equal to them as he is to somebody who doesn't give anything, or just gives a little bit. Say somebody says, once a year they think of God. So God reciprocates accordingly to that person. So he's being equal to everyone, but still someone who renders service unto him, he's more inclined. This is the idea. because Yudhisthira was the pure devotee of the Lord, so naturally the Lord was giving him full reciprocation, even though he may not have been at the level of Indra in opulence, but because he was fully surrendered to the Lord, so the Lord exalted him, just like he exalted Arjuna. Although Arjuna was fighting against the more powerful opponents like Bhishma and Drona, who were superior to him in fighting also, but still, because he was, surrendered to Krishna, so Krishna arranged for him to be victorious. This is the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, right? That Sanjaya says, wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there must be victory and opulence and all good fame and so on. So this is an open secret. Krishna is equal to everyone, but still, we can take advantage of his nature. What is his nature? God's nature is that he's bhaktivatsal. He's inclined to his devotee. And if we actually become his devotee, of course we can't cheat. God is in our heart. He knows our intention. He knows our deepest desires. So if our desire is to use God for our aggrandizement, just like when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait some years before, then he was saying, oh, this is for Allah. But Allah was far away from that. His motive was for his own advantage, for his own power, his own opulence, whatever. So we can't cheat God, in other words. We may cheat our fellow human beings, we may cheat ourselves even, but we can't cheat God because he's superior to us. He knows what is our motive and what is our intention, what is our desires and so on. So, but if we are, in a simple, non-duplicit way, we want to turn to God, we want to surrender to Him, then who can check us? That's the other side. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was just a small boy, but because he was sincere to surrender to the Lord, then the Lord was obliged to protect him, even to the point of personally appearing to kill Hiranyakashipu. So this is the idea, that on the one side, no one can cheat God, but on the other side, God becomes, you can say, captivated by the devotee. He actually becomes controlled by the devotee, just like Arjuna. Krishna agreed to become his charioteer. Okay, take my chariot here. Bring it over here. And Krishna was agreeing. For Yudhisthira, Krishna agreed to go to Duryodhana before the war started, Battle of Kurukshetra. There was an attempt to make peace with Duryodhana. And Yudhisthira was very interested in that. He wasn't a war, a warmonger. He was a very peaceful. Yudhisthira was the son of Dharma. So he was always very careful not to unnecessarily cause disturbance to any other living entity. And so how could he go to war? So he was making every attempt to avoid the war. And he even sent Krishna. So Krishna agreed to go. The point is that Krishna is very, you can say, favorable to his devotee. So therefore, we should become a devotee. And what does it mean to become a devotee? The first thing is we should become a devotee of the devotee. This is the principle. In the Adi Puranam, Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. This is an important principle. We've turned away from God, we've come here to the material world, isha dvesha samutvena, due to desire and anger, or lust, envy. We've come to the material world, we've turned away from God, because in the spiritual world there's no there's no disturbance. Everybody agrees to put God in the center. Everybody cooperates on that principle, on that point. But when we don't agree, because it's all voluntary, he's a loving person, God is, so he doesn't force anyone to love him. Okay, so we instead of loving him, we want to compete with him. We want to become God. All right, you want to become God? Well, here there's only one God. But if you want to become God, you can have your chance. Here, come to the material world. You can imagine that you're God. And this is what's going on here in the material world. Everyone is thinking, I'm the center. I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. And we're quarreling over. Because it has to be a place of quarrel, because everyone wants to be in the center. Saddam Hussein wants to be in the center. President Bush wants to be in the center. There has to be quarrel. So if we put God in the center, however, then we can have peace. Then we can have harmony and cooperation. Because we're all cooperating for the pleasure of God. This is it. They want brotherhood, but that means there has to be a common father. The French were sometimes saying, right? Fraternity, brotherhood. We want fraternity. But if there's going to be fraternity, brotherhood, there has to be the common father. Otherwise, how are you my brother? What do I have in common with you? Rather, I'm competing with you for the resources of the world, for the oil or whatever. Why? I want to fight with you because I don't see you as my brother. I see you as a competitor. Therefore, there will never be peace in this world. That's our, you can say, proposition. It's not possibly peaceful. Unless everybody agrees to put God in the center. And they don't do that. This is because this is like the criminal. This is like the prison house where the criminal mentality is very prominent. Because everybody comes here to compete with God. Then how can you expect all the criminals to suddenly become ideal, law-abiding citizens? It won't be possible so easily. There may be some few. So we're taking that opportunity. We're preaching to the innocent people on the order of Srila Prabhupada, as he came and preached to us, although we were also prisoners and feeling ourselves, you can say, competing with the Lord, but he convinced us that we should give up this mentality and become the servant of the Lord. And we're seeing that actually makes us happy. This is our natural position. And we don't lose anything. We're in anxiety. Oh, well, how will I live? No, Krishna provides. He's providing for the elephant, for the ant. He can also provide for the devotee. We don't have to be in anxiety. How will I live if I'm a devotee? So all we have to do is change our consciousness. We don't have to change our position, just change our consciousness. Instead of thinking, I'm the center, agree to put God in the center, and then we'll find that God reciprocates with us. A little bit of attempt on this side, sincere attempt, and we'll see that God takes so many steps on his side. This is practical. He's more inclined to bring us back to the spiritual world than we are to go. Therefore, he comes to speak Bhagavad Gita. Why does he come to this world? this world of envy, where there's always quarrel. He has to come in the middle of the battlefield. Why? Because he's interested to reclaim the fallen souls. Therefore he speaks Bhagavad Gita. Therefore he can say, enacts the pastimes. So many pastimes are there, just like this is a pastime with Yudhisthira. And with Kunti and so many, with the gopis, so many pastimes are there just to inspire us, to give us some object of meditation. We can be remembering Krishna and Arjuna fighting instead of this mundane. We're being bombarded now with this Iraqi war, but this is not such a pure affair. Both sides, there's some impurity, we have to say. Therefore, we don't become so enthusiastic on one side or the other. We may choose the worst of the two evils. But there's no real goodness here in this world. Everybody is self-centered. But in the battle of Kurukshetra, there's real goodness because God is there. Goodness means what is pleasing to God. This is the real definition of goodness. And so Krishna wanted that Yudhisthira be enthroned as the emperor. He wanted Duryodhana removed. So therefore, we're interested in this battle because God is in the center. Not ordinary politics and war. There's so many wars in the history. We're not interested in them. But we're interested in this because Krishna is there. So this is the idea. We want to become Krishna conscious. And we'll find that it is possible because nothing is outside of Krishna. We can remember Krishna just like Krishna said, I'm the taste of water. I am the light of the sun. I'm in the ability in man. So we can find it in the course of our day. So many opportunities to remember God if we are a little alert. And then we can also dedicate our work. This is the karma yoga. Karma yoga means you work for the pleasure of the Lord without attachment. You do your work to the best of your ability. Don't become lazy. Don't become lackadaisical. But you should do your work very carefully, just like Arjuna is doing his work very carefully. But with the idea of pleasing Krishna, that is possible. This is the yoga of work. Bhagavad Gita never suggests that you stop your work and go sit in the Himalayas. No. He says work, but work in a spirit of devotion. Work for my pleasure. So that is the art of how to work. Yajna Vai Vishnu, without being entangled. Otherwise, if we're working for our own satisfaction, there'll always be some entanglement there. We'll be caught up in the reactions of our work. Nobody can get free from the reactions of their work. Because in every endeavor, there's some fault. And so although we're trying to do good, there's going to be some fault, and we'll be caught up in the reaction. And so we have to remain here in the material world. Even the mode of goodness, we're reading in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, describes the different modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna. So the goodness is the best. But Prabhupada mentions very, very clearly, even the mode of goodness is binding because we become happy with that kind of work and we think, oh, now we have an advantage here in this world. Just like I was recently in California. We were meeting some of the big parties there. But they're not very interested in spiritual life because they think, oh, we're successful here. We've come to America, we've made so much money, even though we're from India. But now we are the most prominent persons here. We've accumulated so much money, we have so much people working for us. Therefore, there's no impetus to take to spiritual life. We're already successful. Well, what does the sannyasi have to tell us? They're just envious of us. They want our money. That's how they think. Prabhupada was mentioning that too. Before he came to America, he was a sannyas in India, but no, he wasn't so well received. Because people thought, oh, this beggar, he's coming here. He wants my money. So we had the same experience. These big, big Hindus, they're not so interested because they're thinking, oh, he's coming to take my money or something. So this is the disqualification. Even mode of goodness. They may be very happy with their work, satisfied everything. But what is the disadvantage? At time of death, they'll have to remain in the material world. There won't be any scope for liberation. Because they'll be attached to their work, attached to their family, attached to their company. And so at the time of death, then according to two things, what happens? So higher authorities decide according to what you desire, what you deserve. These two things. So you're going to desire to see your company going on. That means you have to come back into the world again, take birth, get packed up in the womb, get pushed out, so that you can go on with your work. Because this never ends, this kind of work, this company work. There'll always be some further way you can expand your company or make it. So you have to stay here and go on and on and on. for generations.